Thank you very much. And should we give a warm hand for Shubi Awoyemi? I've so enjoyed getting to say the name Shubi Awoyemi all day. It's a pleasure to say your name. It really is. And that's Nigerian, is it? What was the language you spoke at home growing up?
Yoruba.
Yoruba?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. And Awoyemi, what does that mean?
It means God sustain me.
God sustain me.
Mm.
Ah, interesting.
Correct. I might be wrong.
Yes. Yeah. And God's plural sustaining
me? God's plural.
Interesting.
Small letter G.
That's interesting, given what we're talking about tonight. Because you've been on quite a journey.
Yes.
Thinking about God in very, very many different ways. Growing up in Nigeria, and I guess growing up within Islam, was that kind of the household faith?
Yes.
That was going on? Tell me about life growing up.
So I grew up in a Muslim household, Muslim environment was different. It's different now. It's different to life now, in a sense that in Islam or in that kind of context, there is a polygamy setting, and there is the serving God or worshiping God in a way where you have to say your prayers 5 times a day. Optional, depending on how devoted you are, cover your head, mm-hmm. learn Arabic language, do all the things that you can do according to your power mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. order to be right with God.
Right.
In order to...
Yeah. Yeah, in order to submit.
To submit because and to surrender to His will.
Yes, to His will. Because Islam means submission.
Yeah.
Submission to the will of Allah, inshallah. Allah wills things, mm-hmm. we submit to them. And one of the ways we do that is praying 5 times a day. Was that something you kind of did yourself?
So I became a devoted Muslim when I was 14.
Right.
So when I became devoted, I would go to mosque 5 times a day to pray.
Wow.
Non-fail, because it's the way of life then.
Yes. Yeah. And even if you're traveling somewhere, you find a place to stop and you turn towards Mecca and you do that sort of thing?
Well, there are some exceptions when you travel. You mm-hmm. can wait till later in the evening and make up the prayer. So say mm-hmm. you should have said 3 prayers, then you say 5 prayers in order to make up the ones that you've not done during
right.
the day.
Yes.
So there are those type of exceptions.
And are you praying in your mother tongue? What language are you praying in?
So in Islam, you will be given the Quran verses that you should recite during mm-hmm. prayer. So you kind of like, I memorize saying those prayers.
Yes.
Though I do not necessarily understand what they mean.
Because you memorize them in classical Arabic.
Yeah.
And you didn't understand classical Arabic.
I didn't understand classical Arabic.
Or any Arabic.
Because it's just about the do. You do. Allah says that you do.
Yes.
The angels are keeping record that I'm doing it. So there's in my head, based on the teachings, there is someone recording everything that I'm doing.
Yes.
Which will stand
good
for me
and bad.
Yeah.
And the idea is the good must outweigh the bad.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you get behind in your prayers, then you know you've got to.
Yeah.
You got to get on catch up.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you mentioned also polygamy. That was that quite common in the part of Nigeria that you were living in?
In the part of Nigeria that I was living in, yes.
Yes.
In a Muslim setting that I was living in, yes.
Okay.
Because from my mother's side, I lived with my maternal grandmother growing up because mm-hmm. my mom traveled abroad for work. So my mother's side, there are other wives that my grandfather had.
Okay.
And
how many wives did your grandfather have?
My grandfather had 4 wives.
Right.
And my father also had multiple wives.
Right.
If in total, though they do not live under the same roof, were about 8 wives.
Wow. Wow. How many brothers and sisters do you have?
In total, if I can, about 15 brothers and sisters.
Okay.
I have brothers and sisters,
Yes. But you weren't all living under the same roof?
No.
No. No.
No.
And was that harmonious?
No, it wasn't harmonious. It was... It was a fearful environment.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Much rivalry, surely, and jealousy.
Jealousy,
and
rivalry.
Power plays. And
power play. And in fact, as well as believing in Islam, you will believe that people would do juju or whatever on you because of rivalry stuff.
Right.
So it was a cautious lifestyle.
Yes. And lots of fear around.
Lots of fear.
Yeah. And because of that fear, to some degree, Islam provided safety, provided some kind of sense of, so, you know, perhaps Allah might protect me.
Yeah, so personally, growing up, when I made that commitment to follow Allah, one of the reasons why I decided to follow Allah was because, one, being in a polygamy setting, I somehow knew I was not safe. So therefore, I needed someone to protect me. And Allah was the person then. Mm-hmm. And also, the fear of death somehow was very present. Mm-hmm. There were people dying all around. And I will remember lying down and wondering, well, if I die today, what would happen?
Yes.
So not just physical protection from other half-sisters or half-brothers or stepmother, but it's also spiritual,
right,
protection that I see.
Because you are fearful of death and fearful of how Allah would judge you?
Yes,
at
when
the
I
end.
Do die, yeah.
Okay, but if you're fearful of him in that sense, then I guess you don't feel like he's safe.
I don't feel like he's safe because with Islam, there are all these things that I had to do in order to be right with Allah. Mm-hmm. And deep down, somehow, I knew I wasn't complete in order to be right with Allah comes judgment day.
Right, right. So great insecurity, great fear.
Which means that I would try more and more and more and more to impress.
Right.
To impress Allah.
Right. And then at some stage, your mother leaves Nigeria and comes to England?
Yeah, so mom moved to the UK. And now also she searched and searched for God. Mm-hmm. And she also knew somehow that, you know, Islam way is not the way for her.
Right.
In fact, when she was a teenager, just like myself, mom was lucky where she would sneak to churches to pray.
Really?
So she encountered Jesus while she was in Nigeria.
Right.
But when she came to UK, she went to various churches. She found them unfaithful, but she landed in a Mormon church. Right. And they are known as the Latter-day Saint Church. In Mormon church, she found authenticity. She found transparency, which she didn't find in other churches.
Right.
Based on my mother's account.
Right.
And she became part of the Latter-day Saint Church up to today.
Right. And so at what stage did you leave Nigeria and come to join?
So I came to UK when I was 16. Mm-hmm. So between 13 and 14, became a devoted Muslim, came to the UK with my hijab on my head through Heathrow, although mom tried to persuade me never to try it. The thing about Islam is you're very strong. The stronger you are in standing on your feet and standing the cause of Islam, the more proud Allah will be of me.
Yes, yes.
So came through UK to join mom. Whilst at home with mom, she's a practicing Mormon, which in essence is a Christian Mormon, Latter-day Saint, because they believe in Jesus Christ. So she would say, I cannot have you worshipping Allah under my roof.
Okay.
Whilst I'm a Christian.
Right.
There can't be two gods.
Okay.
And so I remember I would sneak off to say my prayer.
Okay.
Because that's how important it was.
Yeah.
I would sneak off to, I remember being in the, coming to the week after being in UK, I saw someone wearing a turban. Someone wearing turban in a Nigerian context is a Muslim person.
Right.
And I remember saying, Assalamu alaikum. mm-hmm. to this guy wearing turban, and he turned out he was a Sikh.
Yeah. But he said alaikum salam anyway.
And my mother was right next to me when I said assalamu alaikum to him. And then he looked at me. And then mom was like, well, you need to calm down.
Yes, yes.
And so many other events happened to show my devotion. Mm-hmm. But then in the midst of there were a lot of fights, contention in the family. Mm-hmm. There was constant fight between myself and my mother.
Right.
About me practicing Islam under right. her roof. But I do remember one of the Islam teaching also was to honor your parents and to seek peace with everybody. Hmm. So I finally agreed to speak to the Mormon missionaries.
Right. Okay. And how did they strike you? As they were first explaining to you Mormonism,
yeah.
what were you thinking?
So they explained Mormonism. I, of course, they explained Jesus Christ as the Son of God. I fought with them on how they could...
Right. Because within Islam,
yeah.
Jesus is very much not the Son of God because
no.
Allah is not a father
no.
and he has no son.
Yeah.
So who is Jesus within Islam?
He's a prophet.
Right.
And he's nothing more than right. a prophet.
Right.
And for anyone to claim that he's the Son of God mm-hmm. is foolish, it's a taboo.
Yes, yeah.
In fact, I used to feel sorry for Christians when they say Jesus is the Son of God. I used to say, wow, you're going to burn in hell, that kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because you're going against what the Quran said.
Yes, yeah.
Although that was their belief.
Sure, sure. And so the Mormon missionaries are saying, Jesus is the Son of God.
Jesus is the Son of God, but they presented me with some interesting things which were similar to Islam.
Okay.
And again, on a grand scheme of things, that was the similarities of me doing things.
Right.
Keeping holy.
Right.
To God's standards, such as believing that there is a prophet. Mm-hmm. We need to listen to that prophet. We need to do what the prophet does. If we do what the prophet does, we are right with God, because the prophet, as I understand from an Islam context, he is a messenger from God.
Yes, yes.
So long as I do that, I will be fine.
Yes.
As long as I keep the commandments, mm-hmm. which were nice, I will be right with God.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's so many similarities, actually, between Islam and Mormonism.
Yeah.
Because both of them have some kind of Christian roots and Jewish yeah. roots. Mm-hmm. So both Islam and Mormonism look back to the Bible and have a place for the Bible. Mm-hmm. But there's a new revelation. There's mm-hmm. a new prophet.
Yeah.
There's Muhammad, and he brings the Quran. Mm-hmm. And then in Mormonism, there's Joseph Smith in mm-hmm. the 19th century
yes.
who brings the Book of Mormon.
Yeah.
And so it's founded really on teachings, and this is the way to live. Mm. And then you have to submit to that teaching,
yeah.
and that sends you up or down, and that,
yeah.
that sort of thing. So mm-hmm. outwardly, you might not think of the similarities between Mormonism and Islam, but actually there's quite a few, aren't there? Yeah.
There are quite profound similarities. What the missionaries would do is present you with history of Mormonism. So the polygamy aspect of things was somehow comforting.
Right.
I don't know why.
Even as a woman?
Even as a woman. In fact, I remember saying to one of my aunt when I was a Muslim, whilst we were processing me coming to the UK, she said to me, you do know that your mom is a Christian, that you're not going to practice. I said, never. I'm not going to give up Islam for anything. Hmm. And she said, so what would you, Islam believes that you can marry, men can marry more than ex-wife. And I would say, yeah, that's fine. That's Quran, that's God's will. So yeah. even as a Muslim, based yeah. on the teachings, this is how...
Yeah. Yes, yeah. That's another similarity.
Yeah.
yeah, yeah. That these new prophets had multiple wives
yeah.
and okayed multiple
it's okay,
wives.
Yeah.
yeah. So at some stage, these Mormon missionaries and other things that you're reading are starting to make sense? What's starting to click with you?
So I pushed the idea of Jesus as the Son of God to one side and embraced the similarities, and I gave in to the similarities because I know if I can do my best God sees my best. The angels are recording my best because the things that the moment has to share, they're good stuff. So as long as I do them,
lots
the angels
of family
will make,
values, yeah, very close.
Yeah. So
families,
there's chastity, charity, loving people, doing good to others. As long as I do that, I'll be fine. So I, in the midst of that, I still want to investigate more about this Jesus claiming to be Son of God. So I would go to seminaries in the Mormon church to learn more about whom Jesus is. But that was a shame because I didn't see Jesus clearly in a Mormon context because there were other practices that seems to have outweighed the personage of Jesus Christ.
Because as with the Quran as an extra holy book, Joseph Smith and others brought extra books. So there's the Book of Mormon, the covenants and
the Doctrine and Covenants.
Doctrine and Covenants and
the Pearl
of
the Great
Price.
Yeah.
So all these sort of new teachings diluting, because you would have your Mormon Bible.
Oh, yeah, my Mormon Bible was quite
and
big.
And your Mormon Bible is very big, much bigger than our Bible. Because you've got the Old Testament, the New Testament. But then on top of that, you get teaching after teaching after teaching. And the Jesus thing just gets diluted and diluted. But clearly, is there something about Jesus that's intriguing you?
To be honest with you, not at this stage. It wasn't intriguing at all. Because there were other stuff that I was busy trying to make right with. One of the ones is going to making sure I go to the temple to carry out ordinances in a Mormon context because that's what God wants me to do to be right with God. So Jesus wasn't that strong.
So things like baptism for the dead?
Yes, there was baptism for the dead.
Okay, explain what that practice is.
So in the Mormonism, baptism is considered as something very important. And they believe that when we die, there are three degrees of kingdom of heaven, if you like. And in those kingdom, in the lowest one, people will be taught the gospel. Should they choose to accept the gospel, but then they've not baptized, they cannot proceed. Onto the kingdoms. So therefore, if there are people on earth, that baptism needs to be done in a physical body. If there are people on earth doing that baptism for them in the name of that person, then that will give them the chance in the spirit world to move on to.
And do you identify like ancestors or what? And then you physically get baptized in the name of
in the name
those,
of just
those deceased people.
Of the, and another engaging the reason another reason why I resonate with it is because my father died when I was 11 and then he was a Muslim when he died, and in my wishful thinking I want him to hear the gospel, say yes to the gospel, and if I can baptize other people, surely someone will baptize for him. One day, although I didn't actually baptize for him. Hopeful that someone will baptize for him. And maybe he can make heaven.
And you were baptized for how many people?
So I remember we would go at least once a month. So within one baptism, I probably would do 6 to 10 baptism for one day trip.
So interesting. More similarities, isn't it? In terms of the ordinances, the practices, the rituals, doing, doing. And perhaps the sense that the scales are tipping upwards because you're doing more good than bad and all that sort of stuff. Tell me what else is going on in your life at this stage, because you've come to the UK, you're doing schooling. What are
you doing? So I was schooling. When I came to the UK, this education system was completely different. I did terribly. I did really bad in my GCSE. I got used. That's how bad it was. But I was, I believe that God has a purpose for my life. I was driven to education. I started from scratch and ended up in university.
Not just any university.
God.
Warwick. To do, what was it?
Biochemistry.
Hello. Yeah.
ended
up. Did you want to throw those U's back in their face and look at this?
So I ended up in university, and that was where another drama or chapter started in my in my journey.
Yes,
I encountered that there are yet other types of religion. There's the Hinduism, there's the atheist. I've never heard of the word atheist my entire life until I went to uni.
Yes, because in Nigeria, you're either Muslim or Christian, or maybe tribal.
Traditional believers.
But the idea of no God is...
I'm not believing in higher power is crazy.
Right.
So I would... I was conflicted, I was confused. I put a full stop that if everybody seems to have their own idea as to whom God is, surely everyone is making it up, right? There can be multiple gods. It's either one God or no God.
Right, yeah. At most, one of them can be correct.
I gave up wanting to know. But the beautiful thing now, reflecting back, is that there was a void. I knew there was a void. And I, in the midst of what I'm trying to fill that void, I went back to uni. So I did an intercollegiate year. During my intercollegiate year, I would go to churches and I would go to the Bible study and I would carry my Book of Mormon /Bible/Doctrine and Covenant/Pearl of Great Price with me everywhere. And I would be, because I felt like I went through the seminar, I knew quite fast knowledge of what the Bible has to say. And I felt like, oh, they're Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Mormon, we are the same, you know? In the Bible study, I would be throwing words like the apostles, living apostles, because that is the Mormon belief. And they were like, say what? Apostles? That was my first, what's going on? Are you not the same? I thought you were the same.
Really? Yeah.
Then I went back to uni, learned that Mormonism and this Christianity is not the same. Went back to uni, I wanted to pursue that Pentecostal Christian, because I quite enjoy going to that Pentecostal church. So doing the Pentecostal evangelical reach out, as we are doing today, for instance, there was an altar call.
What's an altar call?
Altar call is when you are asked by someone whether you want to give your life to Christ, and if you feel like the Spirit has led you, that you want to have a relationship, you come to the front and you'll be set prayer with to follow Christ. And hopefully church can then follow up with you to tell you more about Christ.
So there was a speaker?
There was a speaker. There was an altar call, which I was hoping that a few other people would come with me. And I was disappointed. I was the only one at the front.
You're in England.
I know. I was the only one at the front. And so I got cold feet, I think. I decided that I didn't mean what I did. I really do not want to follow Jesus Christ. How can I follow Jesus Christ? It's silly. I don't know. I don't want to follow Jesus Christ. Until I had a one-to-one with the pastor of the church, and he threw some good questions at me. He invited me to read the Gospel of John prayerfully. And I said, yeah, well, fine. He gave me his Bible to read, because I had a King James Version Bible, which, to be honest, it can be a tough language.
You thought classical.
Quranic. So he gave me his NIV Bible. And I took it with me, and I went through the Gospel of John. With God's special grace, I saw Jesus through the words of the Gospel of John.
Because before, when I asked you, you know, what were you making of Jesus?
Yeah.
There was too much other stuff going on in your life. Yeah. But now, what is it, as you're reading through, so there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, these biographies of Jesus. John is the beloved disciple. He's in a special relationship with Jesus. He's writing this biography, this portrait of Christ. What is it about this portrait of Christ that's resonating with you?
I saw it was like a love letter. A love letter of God that is powerful, that is supreme, wanting to have a relationship with an ordinary person like me. And it will go to the extreme of craziness to make that happen through Jesus Christ.
Right.
So there was, I saw humility, I saw love, I saw compassion.
Right, right.
I mean, who is crazy?
Yeah.
Not want to.
Yeah. From his fullness, we've all received grace upon grace. That's on the first page of John's Gospel. Here is Jesus. He's full of grace and truth. And from his fullness, he just gushes forth grace after grace. And you see him dealing with people. I love thinking in John's Gospel, he meets with Nicodemus, who's this very important, respectable, rich ruler. And Jesus famously says to him, "You've got to be born again." So the guy at the top, he's got to start again. And then the next chapter, you turn the page, and he's with this woman from Samaria who's the wrong religion. And she's the wrong lifestyle, and she's the wrong everything. And Jesus just offers her the living waters of his spirit, like for free. You know. So if you're on the top, he'll bring you down. But if you are just ordinary, even if you're wrong, he gushes forth for you. Yeah,
yeah, and I don't have to be perfect to be...
Right.
Relational to him.
Right.
I don't have to be anything that I've always been taught growing up.
Right, right. In fact, Nicodemus was right in every single way.
Yeah.
And Jesus says, "No, you've got to start again."
Yeah.
You know. And the woman who hadn't done anything.
Yeah.
She is given eternal life just for free.
Yeah.
That's very different.
Mm.
And liberating to
very,
meet him.
Very liberating.
Mm.
So I do remember finishing reading the Gospel of John, and I don't know, something pushed me on my knees, and I prayed, and I asked God to come into my life. So I don't know what happened at the altar call, but for the first time, I asked him to come, that I want to have that relationship with him.
And did you feel different?
Well, not instantly, because at the same time I knew, I mean, I'm unable. The truth about Islam is I'm not right with God. I'm sinful. I'm flawed to the extreme. And I know my heart is not pure. So I'm not capable to submit to God's will. So maybe some Islam teachings was influencing my prayer, but I know I was not capable to follow God's will. But I asked them to help me through that journey.
Right. And so it was a case of slowly learning the grace of Jesus.
Yes.
That he's come for us precisely because we mess up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what was that journey like? Like, did you start going to church, you know, fairly soon after that? Or?
The beautiful thing is I was dating my husband now. At that time, and then you and I did not believe in God. We were in a deep relationship, and so there was a tug of war. Yet after saying the prayer, I don't want to lose him, but I really want to follow you, Jesus. But I don't want to leave him because he will think I'm crazy, a Jesus follower.
What was Yemi thinking at that stage?
Well, recently, we shared our testimony on how we came to Christ, and I learned that God was already working in his heart here in Maidenhead in St. Mary's.
Okay.
But he didn't share it.
Ah.
At that time.
So you're on sort of parallel tracks, but God was working on you both and then bringing you together. Yeah. That's quite cool. Yeah.
So I remember saying to him that this is the decision I've made. I want to follow Christ. And I totally understand that if you're not on board with this weekend, because I believe that God wants me to choose him. I remember in one of my prayers that, well, you can choose him, there's consequences, or you can follow me, there's also consequences. But you have to make that choice. And I chose to follow Jesus, and I was brave enough to tell him that I really do care for you, but this is what I've chosen to do.
Wow.
So I do understand if you want to go.
Wow.
And God willing, he stayed.
Yeah. He made the right choice. You know, on both counts, he made the right choice. Okay. So that's obviously going to have massive implications for your relationships with your family. on your father's side and on your mother's side.
Yeah, because now my mom, I've abandoned Mormonism. Mm. And in Mormonism, there is a belief that family lasts through all eternity. Mm. Marriage lasts through all eternity. So I've been sealed with my family in a Mormon context to live eternity with them. So me deciding to leave was a blow in the heart for my mom up to today.
Mm. Mm. How do you process that?
It's hard because rather than my mom feeling sorry for me, I'm feeling sorry for her from the outside. I'm praying that God will open her heart. Mm-hmm. But then I know God is powerful and he will use everything for his glory. So it's the processing is teaching me patience and trust in God's plan.
Mm. How is it different now building a family here as a Christian? Your husband's a Christian. You're growing up within the faith. When you compare it to your upbringing, what is the difference that knowing a God of love makes to how you parent, to family life?
Yeah. So marriage now, marriage is like being married with God, because I love Revelation when he talks about us being a bride to God. And so marriage is beautiful now, not because I look at Yemi as that perfect man. I look at Jesus as the one that institute marriage, as the one that, as long as we are both looking up to him, is guiding us through, even in our flaws. So I'm not, Yemi is not the head of our home.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is the head of our home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we're discovering.
Isn't that great?
That knowledge.
Otherwise, you lean on your spouse as though they are God.
Yeah, and, whereas growing up in Nigeria, the man is the God.
Right.
In a
sense. Yes. I could not live up to that. I'm an okay husband. I'm a lousy God. And to the degree that, you know, I've got a friend who works as a marriage counselor. He says sometimes he talks about tick on a dog relationships. There'll be a husband and a wife who come to him, they're in trouble, and he'll describe them. There's one of them who's just sucking the life out of the other. He says that's some marriages. He says most marriages are two ticks and no dog, which is this whole thing. You suck the life out of your partner because they must be God for you. But what you're saying is, Yemi doesn't have to be God for you.
Doesn't mean that my personality played that right all the time, but God is so kind, it reminds me. Remember, I was in charge, not him. So.
Yeah. And then you can just love each other as husband and wife. You don't have to put that pressure on each other. That's great. And now tell us, what difference has it been to know Jesus when you compare it to your kind of religious views in the past?
Mm-hmm.
How is Jesus different?
Jesus is different because, I mean, I've always seen God as someone I cannot stand before or reach to, but Jesus brought the proximity to the extreme that God can be reached. It can be that intimate. And so Jesus to me is my lover, my friend, my counselor, my companion.
Yes.
And with other religion, that wasn't the case.
It seems like there was that love element was missing.
Yes.
From the Islam and the Mormonism.
Yeah.
And yet it's right at the fore of the Jesus thing, you know, we are the bride of Christ. He is the husband.
Yeah.
We're in a love relationship. Yeah. That is unique. We've got a great question here on Slido. Someone says, because you've been through so many religions, how do you know Jesus or Christianity is the one? Why is he authentic? Why are you convinced? How do you know? You know, because you've gone from Islam to Mormonism to Christianity.
Mm.
Will it stop here? Why is Jesus the end point?
Yeah. I think not until anyone read about Jesus, prayer, for me, I'm learning about him. Mm. I'm learning about his love. His love, Jesus' love to me is too deep for me to push away or to seek any other. The claim that Jesus has to make of himself and of God, there is no other religion on earth that made that claim.
Right.
So me being a Christian is just not me being dormant and say, that is fine, I'm all good. I'm still learning, I'm still researching.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in everything I read, there is no other claim like that of Jesus.
Yeah.
And who is crazy enough? For me, I think the beauty for me is there. So I grew up in a home where love, other than the love that the mother that gave birth to me had for me, was not there. So in a way, that is my gift, to know an authentic, real, deep love when I saw one.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is in Jesus. Who could love me the way every single one of us, I'm being selfish here by claiming me, who could love anyone by going to the cross for them?
Right.
Because I know my heart that I am truly not pure. Mm. I am truly unable to stand before God. That is what every religion like Mormonism, Islam has made clear in a very weird way. But reading the Bible, I realized that God knows that, so we're not able because of our sinful nature. He gave his son Jesus Christ to make it possible to die and resurrect, to make it possible for me to be able to stand before him. So,
and no one else has done that.
No one else has done that. So I cannot know this profound truth and say I'm going to live that love. But this doesn't mean that life has not tested me, right, has not shaken my faith.
Right.
But in the midst of life, because Jesus put, say I'm crazy, so Jesus is at the center of that life that I live, and it's a relational being that I'm constantly having relationship with. In the midst of trials, trouble, struggles, he is there.
Mm.
So that is why there is no need for me to...
Yeah,
to move on.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's interesting that the question sort of talked about, how do you know that Jesus is the one? And it's interesting, isn't it? We use that language, the one, when we're talking about falling in love, don't we?
Yes.
Yeah. How do you know when you find the one? Yeah. And at some stage you go, well, you just know.
Yeah.
You've found love.
Yeah.
And so you get married to the person.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean you cease being curious about that person. You stick with them and you grow with them.
Yes.
But once you find the one, and what's interesting about Jesus is that he is the one who is offering that eternal love relationship in a way that nobody really is. So no wonder you've settled on the one.
Yeah. And also, so I used to be afraid of death.
Mm.
For a long time, even after giving my life to Christ, I was still afraid of death. And I was still subconsciously would think that I still need to do things in order to be right with God. So the more I study the Bible, the more I see his love of what he has done. Yeah, death comes today, so be it.
Right.
To God be the glory.
Wow, wow. So he's actually got an answer to the one thing that all of us face, and an answer that's unique.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. So that there are some reasons to stop on Jesus and keep investigating him. Let me finish with this question. So Shubi, if other people are wanting to investigate Christian faith for themselves, what would you advise?
I would say please pray. Don't dismiss the nudge. There is a reason why we're having the nudge in the first place. Read the Bible prayerfully. If anyone knows a Christian friend, speak to them, ask them to read and pray with you. I did Christianity Explore as part of my continuous investigation. I thought I knew Christ, not, and then I saw him even in a brighter light, having to go through Christianity Explored.
Which is a course that you
can do. A course that runs through a term, mm-hmm. that you sit in a group and you just read through one of the Gospels, the Luke Gospel, I believe. Mm-hmm. I saw Jesus Christ through there. But for me, it didn't really stop on the Bible. I want to know what other people has done. There was a book that I read personally, which was Case for Christ. Mm-hmm. A guy called Lee Strobo, his wife became a Christian, he thought. Mm. She was crazy as well. Mm-hmm. So he searched out to prove Jesus wrong.
Yeah. That's not one of the books we've got at the back. Do we have a case? We do. We've got the Case for Christ at the back. No way. Yeah. Okay. Well, someone's been thinking. Someone's planned this. Okay. So Christianity Explored was helpful. Reading John's Gospel obviously was really helpful in your walk. Christianity Explored book. Is this an okay church family for people to come and maybe join and investigate St. Mary's?
We are a church full of people, like our vicar would say. Mm. We are a household full of sinners. Mm. We are still growing, but we love the challenge to be relational and to make Jesus shine.
Yeah. And it's been really helpful for you and for Yemi in terms of,
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, when we started, we... Just when I was just saying to Ian earlier, how we know Melinda Stylo and a few other people, we were in a growth group together, learning about Jesus together, and such profound bond and relationship we've grown with many. And people said, Connie, everybody sitting here, I can call them sisters, though we're not from the same bloodline, because of Jesus.
Yeah. True family.
Yes.
True family. So those are some great recommendations. We hope that people follow up on them. But Shubi, thank you so much for joining us. We show our appreciation for Shubi Awoyemi.